God and You series, we started off with talking about things about God and you. And it was very important to understand that we have a God who we don't see is there in our lives, and He expects certain things of us. And this God wants to communicate with us, and He made us in a very specific, certain way. And so we've been talking about different parts of God and who he was, very deep theological things about who God was. And now the last couple of weeks we've been talking about us and how we intersect with God and how God takes us and puts us together with other people. And He puts us in bodies like this one to come and do what God wants and desires for this community. And so today we're going to talk about, the last 3 or 4 weeks we've been talking about taking this word shape, S-H-A-P-E, your shape, how God made you and put you together. And so how does that work in the kingdom? How does that work in the body? How does how God made me, how do I intersect with my fellow believers and people who don't know Jesus? What's my job with that? Most of us have the idea that we really, really don't understand how unique each one of us are. Everyone in here is unique. You are very, very unique. And we spend so much time trying to be unique. We put things on our arms. We have special tattoos. We drive certain kinds of cars. We do certain kinds of activities. All of us believe that we are unique. But in essence, really, God created us unique enough the way He made us. He made us, the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. When He put you together, He had such an idea for you, an idea that you were going to fit into His plan and His body right here, right now, for God's kingdom. There never has been a time, and never will be, anybody that's just like you. Nobody else in this world is exactly like you. And I find great comfort in that. That's pretty cool. But sadly, a lot of people aren't happy with that. A lot of people today are trying to define and take who they are and say, well, forget about God, as Wade was talking about, but not just forget about God, but here, I know better than God. And He didn't just create us male and female. He created us like this. And now there's 40 different kinds of us and who we are and different things like that. And we've had to redefine, our nation is trying to redefine how God made us. The Bible says He made us male and He made us female and He made us very, very, very unique, special, in a wonderful, wonderful way. So we've been talking about and using our main verse has been Job 10, verse 8. God has formed and shaped me. God has formed and shaped me. And what difference does that make? It makes a difference because I can't recreate myself because it says God made me the way He made me. God used me and put me. He knew in before I was even created, He put me together in my mama's tummy exactly how I'm supposed to be. I can't redefine myself. I am who God made me to be. I am fearfully and wonderfully made because He shaped me. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about our spiritual gifts and how important our spiritual gifts are because God gave us spiritual gifts that we're supposed to use. And He gave us, then we talked about the H, and the H is His heart. He gave us a passion. He wants us to be passionate about certain things. He put in you a passion. That's why some of you are so passionate about animals, because He put that in you. Some of you are passionate about building. He put that in you. Some of you are passionate about computers. He put that in you. And last week we talked about your abilities. That's the base model you. That's who you are. That's when He puts you together. He made some of you good carpenters. He made some of you good mechanics. He made some of you however you are. He made you that way for a very intent person and a very intent time. And today we want to talk about the P. We've done the S, H, A, and today we're going to talk about the P. The P is your personality. There's an old song, you know, he's got personality, she's got personality. That's what we're going to talk about. And how is that different from spiritual gifts? How's that different from heart? How's that different from abilities? It is so different because it tells us how we intersect with the people in our lives. Our personality is something that God gave us. God gave you all these things. See, part of your personality comes from a hereditary factor. You do get some personality from your mom and pops. You do. You also, it comes from the environment. It comes from the way you're brought up. Each of us have a choice how our personality kind of, how it rides out. Each of my three daughters have a very different part of my personality. You can go to each one of them and you can spend time with them and you can see a little bit of me in each one of them. Thank God it's just a little bit, and mostly it's their mom. Thank God for that. But you can see my personality in there, but just a little part of it. Just a little part. Your personality is learned. It can be learned. It can be shaped. The Bible says that we are very complex, and so complex that sometimes we're a mystery to ourselves. Sometimes we don't get ourselves. And we don't get ourselves to the extent we go, who am I? And so we go searching for who we are to create our personalities. And so in our order to be individuals, what we do is we create this thing about who we are. And this is who I am, and I'm very, very unique. All the while, God says, yeah, but I made you this way. I made you this way. I bent you this way. I'm a mystery. You're a mystery. Look at your neighbor. Look at your kids. Whoever came in, look and just say, I'm a mystery. So do that with me real quick. Ready? I want you to turn. I want to hear the mystery. I'm a mystery. Yeah, I'm a mystery. And some of you are married. You know exactly. I don't understand. A mystery. I'm a mystery. Your personality influences every area of your life. It influences your decisions that you make. It involves how you solve problems. It involves what makes you happy, what makes you sad. It influences every area of your life. The number one way your personality shows up is in how you relate to other people. Let me say that one more time. Your personality shows up in how you relate to other people. And this is a big one. This is a big one. Because how I relate to other people, then if I don't understand me, if I don't understand how God made me, if he didn't understand that he made me complex and made me to be a bit of a mystery, then I get a little lost in how I do things in this world. So I want to look at this morning to start. Why does everybody misunderstand you? Some of you are thinking like that. You know, everybody misunderstands me. They just don't get me. And some of you go, I don't get them at all. And we begin a bit of a mystery to ourselves. Look what 1 Corinthians 12:6 says. It should come up on the screen here and on your app. God works through different people in different ways. He made us all different. And so that's very obvious that God loves variety. God loves differences. Each one of us think differently, feel differently, react differently. And we respond to life very, very differently. And the point of that is, I say that to say this, there's no right or wrong personality. There's no right or wrong personality. God has given you the personality you have. He did it for a purpose. He did it intentionally. There are lots of differences that could classify your personality. Society and scientists and psychologists have come up with all these tests. In fact, I took one a couple years ago, and there's the Myers-Briggs survey, and there's the Taylor-Johnson, and you go on and on, and they all came from a guy named I can't even say his name. Anyway, they came from a guy, a Greek theologian, thousands of years ago, not Greek theologian. They came from, he just came up with these, there's different temperaments that everybody has. Some of you have had to take these tests for jobs. And I'm not a big one in those tests because I don't know if I even believe in them. But I know that some of you are a part of, have to take them to get a job. And they reason they have you take those silly tests is they want to see how you play in the sandbox with others. They want to see that you play well with others or how you fit in with others. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this, no one can really know what anybody else is thinking. Nobody. Nobody can know what you're thinking because we are so complex. Nobody knows, and we have to remember that, husbands. We have to remember that, wives. We have to remember that when we want to come after our kids because I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to do. No, the Bible says no one knows everything that everybody's thinking. As a result of that, we are all very, very different. You have a possibility for conflict with anybody you come up to every time you spend a second with them. There's a possibility of conflict happening. Most of your problems in life that cause the biggest heartaches are people, right? People cause so much pain. Other people, how I get along, my personality is so very, very important. 80% of the people who fail today in a job don't do so because they don't have incredible ability. They don't do so because they're slacking off. They do so because they can't stand the person they're working with. Hate my boss. Hate this coworker. They make my life miserable. So I'll go somewhere else. And what happens? I find the same jerk right next to me again. Right next to me. So, Jeff, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Here's my message today. In a sentence, because I always like to put my message in a sentence. That's all I got. We are all weird. And we got to figure out how to use our weird for God. Every one of us are weird, and we've got to use our weird for God. That's it. That's my message today. You cannot bang on other people. You cannot constantly be in conflict with other people. You have to take your weird, how God made you, and use it for the Lord, for the glory of the kingdom. You have to. We are all weird. Turn to your neighbor right now and just say that. You're weird. Even your mom. You're weird. You're weird. All right. Catch back up. Here we go. How do I be weird for God? And how do I use my weird for God? How do I do that? Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him patience. Who here doesn't need patience? Wisdom, the Bible says, gives us patience. We work with a world of fools. That's what most of us think. They're fools. How many times have you thought that about the people in your life? See, God not only wants you to understand your personality, but he wants you to understand the personalities of the people around you. If you're not aware of the reason why people act the way they do, what you do is you tend to come down on them. You tend to get upset with them. And then you're living in this constant conflict where you're mad at the world. And I see so much of that going on around me today. So many of us are so angry with people because they don't think like you. They don't behave like you. They don't have your personality. For those of you who are married here today, most of you probably married your opposite. I did. I married my complete opposite. And I believe it's a complete proof of God's sense of humor, because God takes two people who couldn't be any more different, a man and a woman, and he allows them to come together and he puts them in this thing called a marriage, and they're supposed to figure out how to get along. Chances are one of you in this marriage are extrovert, one of you are introvert. Chances are one of you likes variety, the other likes just, you know, the same old, same old. One of you are structured, you know what exactly you want to do on vacation. The other one, you're like, let's just go hang out. Let's just go be us. Let's just go, you know, and it doesn't work. The early years of my marriage, I've been married 42. The early years of my marriage, Brenda and I could be summed up in the phrase of this: why aren't you more normal like me? That's what both of us thought. Both of us. Why aren't you more like me? 42 years. 42? And counting? Now, you come to a point where you understand why God made you. And you work together, and then it is perfect symphony. Not perfect. That's stupid. That was a dumb word. Let me back up. When you come together, you make music, and it's beautiful music. It may have a few squawks, and you may miss some notes, and it comes together. I spent the last 3 days with my family at camp, and I had all my kids there, my grandkids. It was even the son-in-laws. They were all there, all three of them. We had an incredible time. And we just did nothing but hang around camp, do camp things, went hiking, went in the woods, got bit, you know, all those things that you do. And I couldn't say anything better about that than saying, man, was some of the strife that we went through those first 10, 12 years, heck yeah, every bit of it was worth it. Will it pay off for everybody? I don't know. But I believe with Jesus, all things are possible. With Jesus, all things are possible. I believe that with all my heart. Awareness is not only a key in your marriage to understanding yourself and others, it's a key foundation to being a good parent, to being aware of the basic temperament of your child. I've used that word bent in here, and some of you said, is it crooked? No, it's bent. God created your kids with a bent. He created you with a bent. The Bible here, it says this in the Word. It says, Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. That's a bent. The bent. He made that child. We take that bent and we train them. We train them. We show them. We give them balance. We give them boundaries. We show them where they're to go. Train up a child in the way he should go. What that means in Hebrew is basically this: the temperament of your kids, they're not going to have the same temperament as you. The temperament of your kids, you need to help them value that one of them is as slow as a firecracker of getting angry, and the other just blows up. It's okay. It's okay. You have to train them in that, to help understand their temperament, to understand why they act and react the way they do. If you don't do it, you know who will? Somebody that you don't want doing that. Somebody you don't want doing it. And the really biblical key to getting along with people that are weird is this: give yourself permission to be okay with being a little different, with being different. You don't have to be like the family that you look at and go, oh, they got it perfect. Look at them. They do such wonderful things. Stop that. Don't ever compare to other people. You have to give yourself permission saying, this is the way God made the family that I have, and we're going to work with the bend. We're going to go with the bend. The Bible says a lot about this. Romans 15:7. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Don't try to change your spouse's bent. Don't try to change your kid's bent. Don't try to change your friends when it comes to their personality. Understand, be aware, understand who they are. God uses ordinary people, one personality at a time, and he uses every type of personality there is on that chart that I was talking about. God uses all those. Go on a missions trip sometime. Go minister. Go out in the hub on Tuesday nights when there's 20 people out there and they're doing stuff, and everybody's got an idea how to do it. Go on a missions trip, and you're saying, we got to be here at this time, and we got to go here, and we got to be there. And there's always those two or three that are just straggling off like little cows, you know, over there. It's because their personality. They're looking over, and the others are like, we got to be there. No, look, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to look at this shiny thing. I'm going to look at that shiny thing. Go work with three men on any project, and they all have a different idea of how to get her done. Well, you don't do that. What are you doing that for? That ain't the right way to do that. It's a personality. Personality. And it's not wrong. But we get mad when people don't do stuff like I want them to do it. And sometimes we take our ball and we just go home. Yeah, well, I don't get along with them. Why not? What's Romans say? Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. It means you accept their bent, you accept the wobbles, you accept all the warts and all that. You accept it, and you don't try to change it. I've discovered that people who look up to God rarely look down on people. So many of us, we get this thing and we just, you know how they are. We look down on them and they do this. They did that. They did that. And I can't, no. Look to God. You're not going to be looking down on his people. You got to realize that differences, they're not right. They're not wrong. God loves differences. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves differences. Would you do that for me real quick? Just look at your neighbor. God loves differences. Just right now, real loud. God loves differences. Which the word difference is the word that I'm using. It's weird. It's weird. It's another word for weird. Different is weird. It's weird to you. 40 years of being in ministry. My three daughters were raised in the church. My three daughters helped us start two churches. Many times they would come home and you know what they'd say? Man, Dad, those people are weird. But you know what the next sentence they say? So are we. So are we. They're weird, and so are we. And they knew it. And I believe that's one of the tests of why our kids, my kids, have stayed in the faith for so long. I know so many people that have such a hard time with their kids and keeping them in the faith. It's so important that we let our kids understand that our differences shouldn't divide us. They should bring us together. And we're going to all agree on one thing, that Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to lift him up. And all the minutiae underneath that, it just falls strangely dim, goes away, just goes away. It doesn't matter what I think about the color of what something should be. It doesn't matter how I do this. It may make me mad for a second, but I get over it and I move forward. I do what God asked me to do. I accept my brother and my sister. Ephesians 4:2 says this, generously make allowances for each other because you love each other. Isn't that what keeps us together at home? We make allowances. What does that mean? You know they're that way, and you accept them and love them and move forward. You don't dig in your heels and get stuck and just sit there and ruminate on what it is that your partner is doing that just infuriates you. Generously make allowances because you love each other. See, we forget that we love each other. And the difference, what it does, is that the devil takes that and he makes it into a thing. And when it becomes a thing, it may not be a thing for very long, but you know what? Even a little bit of drip of water ruins the siding after it does that for about 10 or 15 years. And that happens in your marriage. That happens in your friendships. That happens with your kids. Drip, drip, drip. You have to be very, very, very careful that you're making allowances. Why? Because you love each other. Real maturity is being able to do what I'm talking about this. And that's why I'm talking to you as a church, because I believe there's a lot of mature believers in this place, because a lot of you have stuck around through a lot of crud the last several years. Not crud, that just crud. It would have been easy just to bolt because people didn't do things your way. But no, you said, oh, we'll do that. I remember when we were building the hub. We were building a building that had nothing that was going to benefit our church. It wasn't a gym. It wasn't a spa. It wasn't anything. It was, this is not for us. This is for the community. And there were some of you who were going like, oh, we need a gym. And then you go, oh, wait a minute. We do need to do things that are for the community, not just for us. We need to do the things that tell people that we love them. It's tough. It is tough to go out into the world and share the news, but we got a place now that every week it opens up, that there's people that come in there and don't get loved on anywhere else. They get lived in, loved, I'll get it. Man, my words today. They get loved in there like nowhere else. And there's a distinctive group of you that do that and take it on every week. And you show up. You say, well, I didn't know we were doing that. I'm telling you, I hear it time after time after time. Stories of people like you, each one of you here, who have had their lives touched because you've been a part of that. To be Jesus-like, to be Christ-like, is to see the value in other people. It's to see that they have much worth, that Jesus died on the cross for them just like he did you, that Jesus rose from the dead for them just like he did for you. That there's nobody that Jesus doesn't love, no matter how weird or different or strange or bad, or use the word that's out there. Be Christ-like means that we value the differences. Romans 12:10 says this: have a profound respect for each other. That's what our society has lost. We've lost that respect. I know it's earned. I get it. I get that respect is earned. But we've lost this respect for each other. And so we're suspect of somebody who's red or blue, or we're suspect of somebody who's this or that, and we're suspect of this person because of this or that. Have a profound respect for each other. I want to challenge you with that verse today. I want you to wrestle with that verse. Do you respect people? Do you respect others? For instance, the person who is cynical and critical may have positive characteristic of discernment. They're just misusing it. Perhaps somebody who is bossy all the time, that person that, meow, 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 you know who they are. They're always doing this. Maybe they're just missing that positive characteristic of responsibility, of being responsible and saying, I just want the best for our group here that's doing that. And so we need to make allowance for those things. It seems in our world that there's a number of dysfunctional people. And it's increasing and it's increasing. And I think it's because nobody has understood this principle of being accepted and appreciated of God, what God made you to be. If you feel like that, if you're here today and you feel like nobody understands you, I want you to know Jesus does. Jesus understands you, weird person. Jesus understands me, Jeff. I'm one of the weirdest. He made you. He knows you. He cares about you. He accepts you. He values you. He died for you. And for those of you that are believers, God expects you to obey. God expects you to obey. And we can't stop this service today without talking about your obedience. It's important that you are obedient to some of the things that I just talked about, that you respect those people in your sphere, that you accept them. I didn't say accept their behavior. I'm not talking about accepting their lifestyle. I'm saying you accept them, their personality as they are. Okay? There's a difference. It's very important. Romans 12:10 says this: have a profound respect for each other. Do you? Do you have that profound respect? We want ICC. We want Impact Christian Church to have the atmosphere that we're aware of people's differences, that we accept people and their differences, that we appreciate them, that we value diversity. You can have unity at church without being uniform. And that's what has got us to this place, I believe with all my heart, is that we all continue to look at the only thing that counts is that Jesus is being lifted up, that people are coming into relationship with him, and that's all that matters. Everything else is just noise. It's just noise. Time, as Mike said, is drawing nigh. I believe the time is near, and Jesus is going to come back. And he's looking to find people who are going to be obedient, people who are following, people who know who Jesus is and saying, I'm broken, but follow me as I follow Christ. Here I am over here. Follow me. Here, follow me. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not bragging. Follow me. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Am I horrible at some of the things? Yeah. Follow me as I follow Christ. Start today by looking at your life and your personality and saying, how does my personality, the traits that make me, does it repel people? Or are there some things that God wants to shape off of me, wants to cut off of me, wants me to leave at the altar and say, Jesus, here I am. You have your way with me. That's the best thing you can do today as we start. I can have you take all those tests, and it doesn't matter. But what matters is the verses of Scripture that I laid out before you of respecting each other, accepting each other, loving each other. That's what matters in spite of people's differences. Let's pray as the band comes. Thank God that we don't have to all be alike, God. Thank you that you didn't make us all alike. What a boring, boring place this would be. Thank you that you made us different. God, help us to celebrate those differences, not to go to war for those differences. But God, we're talking about our personality here. And God, the way you make us and the way that our parents raised us, it affects the way we face life and challenges. God, would you just take our little bit today and do so much more with it? And then, Father, I pray for those that are in this place today who have never made you Lord, who have never asked you to be the Lord, the boss, the Savior of their lives. God, I pray that today would be that day, that today would be a day of repentance, a day where we call on the church to say, let's turn around and let's go God's way. God, I thank you for the people in here. I thank you for the heritage, for the legacy, and for the obedience of some of these folks in here, God. And for those who are struggling, God, would you meet them right now through your Holy Spirit as only you can do. We ask you to move amongst us today during our ministry time. God, to use the altar to go back and be prayed with someone today, God, in the back there. God, just move amongst us. Maybe nothing I said touched anybody, God, but would you be you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see what God does. Would you stand?